Welcome back in the show, Sports Talk, 624 Sam Phillips Street. That's where we're at. Right now we head to the phone lines. Ben Ray, the official voice of the UNA Lions, kind enough to join us. Haven't talked to Ben in a couple weeks, so we should have a lot to discuss. Ben, my man, how are you doing? What's been going on in Ben's world?
Man, I'm just enjoying summer, and I'm curious, is my man Kobe coming back? He's my hero. I'm a Kobe guy. Is he coming back for real? Or is this like when Reggie Miller was going to come back and play for the Celtics?
I don't know. I hope he does. Actually, I hope he doesn't. I like the legend to grow. I just want the legend of Kobe Bryant to grow.
I do, too, but if Kobe came back, I'd jump headfirst back into the NBA. So you guys got to keep me updated on that.
Yeah, I'll let you know. I'll let you know when Kobe comes back to play for the Lakers. I think Kobe's favorite times in L.A. weren't, you know, it wasn't winning championships alongside Shaq. It wasn't leading championships with Pau Gasol and Andrew Bynum. His favorite time is when the Lakers were winning 20 games and he could shoot it 80 times a game. And he knows with LeBron James that's not going to happen.
You know, I got to see Kobe hit a game winner against Memphis during their second championship run. Mm-hmm. And it was incredible. One of the highlights of my life, live sporting event viewings, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, Kobe's my man. I'll have to look into that.
Kobe's my guy, too. I'm glad that, you know, there are a lot of things that Ben and I connect on. It's Braves baseball and Kobe Bryant. So, and of course, the UNA Lions as well. And talking about the UNA Lions, Ben, UNA, the football team we've talked a lot about. And officially, July the 1st was the first day of UNA being Division I. And one of the big signings to go along, or one of the big things to go along with UNA going D1 was the signing of Christian Lopez, a quarterback out of Mesa, Arizona. Tell us about this guy. What do you know about him and realistic expectations from him year one?
You know, you go back the last, really to when Jacob Tucker was here, his senior year. Every year going into the season, you know, there's been questions about the quarterback position at UNA. And a lot of people wondered, could Jacob Tucker do what Luke Wingo did? And then Jacob Tucker ended up making the question, hey, what could Jacob have done if he'd had Luke's time? But that's not fair because they're two of the greatest to play. And even after that, you know, we all thought it was going to be Blake Hawkins' turn. And last year will be the year of what would have happened if Blake hadn't gotten hurt. So now you head into this season. I mean, God, UNA played, what, 5-6 different quarterbacks a year ago. You've got Rico Bruton coming back. He's a young football player. Yes, he's a senior, but he's only been playing about 5 years of competitive football, but they love Rico's work ethic. He's done a great job. But just like they wanted Rico last year to come in and compete with Blake, they need this guy to come in, Lopez, to come in and compete with Rico. And if it's like a coach told me, if Rico wins the job come fall camp, Rico's earned it. If Lopez wins the job, he's earned it. They feel confident in both of these guys. And realistic expectations, you know, they need somebody to come in and run this offense. And the cool thing about this offense they're going to, you know, it's a lot of run-pass option. It's a lot of get the ball out of your hands quick, get it in the playmaker's hands, and let them work in space. So it probably sets up to both of these quarterbacks. So you can never have enough quarterbacks. At UNA, Coach Willis, he feels good about what he has right now heading into fall camp.
You know, thinking about a guy like Christian Lopez, he's a guy who really can do it all. 2,858 yards passing, 33 touchdowns. But the one, I guess you would say, negative that you see just in the numbers. Now, we haven't seen this guy play. I haven't seen this guy play. But the one negative you look at is he will turn the ball over. I believe he threw something along the lines of 15 interceptions last season, leading his team to a 6-5 record. Once he gets here to UNA, gets on campus and starts work, what are the plans around developing him? Obviously, he's going to need to learn the system and learn the players around him, but how do you take a guy like that who, from the outset, it looks as if he's got the passing ability that you want, and he can also run a little bit, at least, you know, he's enough of a threat to make teams have to worry about him from what I'm reading. How do you work with a guy like that? What do you plan? What do you think Chris Willis's plan is to develop this guy into a quarterback that, you know, can do big things for UNA?
I think it's a matter of getting in the film room and spending as much time as he can with new offensive coordinator Ryan Appling. And, you know, Ryan, he's an offensive guru, I'll say very loosely. I mean, he's a guy that's energetic. He's going to relate to both of his quarterbacks, and even the freshman Rhett Files coming in. He's excited about what that quarterback room is going to be like in the fall. And you want good competition at the quarterback position. Nobody wants just one quarterback going in, especially at this level. You want somebody to push whoever you have penciled in at number one, whether it's Rico or whether it's Lopez. Having that competition will make whoever becomes the starter better. I mean, your throws have to be crisper. You may not be able to take those risks that lead to the interceptions because, you know, the other guy can come in and perform just as well as you. So I think those will be two of the biggest things, getting out there, competing in practice against each other, and getting in the film room with Coach Applin.
We've got Ben Ray, the official voice of the UNA Lions, joining us on Shoals Sports Talk. All right, some more football news. It looks as if Austin Hicks will not be returning to UNA for his senior season. And this is a guy who was the leading yards getter from the wide receiver position, 431 yards, a guy that UNA was really, really planning on being a big part of their transition to Division I. So the question is, obviously, if Hicks is left, what's next? Where does UNA look to get their receiving yards?
You know, I was disappointed to see Austin go. I mean, let me just say this. Austin is a stand-up kid, man. He's a great student athlete in the classroom, on the field. I mean, he was looking in great shape. Last time I talked to him, he told me he was weighing about 230. He's about 6'3". I mean, he's a big boy. And last year, everybody knew about Dre Hall. And the question was, who's going to give Dre Hall help? And it was Austin Hicks. So, tough loss, but he's going back to Tennessee Tech. He's got some friends up there. But for the last 2 years now, they have been talking about this freshman wide receiver class. Most of them redshirted a year ago. Jack Petey, I think, is one of the few ones that actually played last year. He played there sparingly, a lot of special teams, but he's a nitty-gritty guy. He'll go out there and make some plays. Jordan, they've got these young guys that they're very, very excited about. You have Alex Norwood returning. Alex was a big JUCO guy who really slipped in between the cracks. He's a similar build to Austin Hicks. Coach Applin told me Alex is one of the best route runners he's ever been around. And Applin's been at Auburn. He's been at Ole Miss. He's been at UT Chattanooga. He's coached some great guys. And he says Alex probably doesn't realize how good he actually is. So he's trying to untap that potential. But, you know, I would look – I guess one of the biggest things I'm looking forward to is seeing how these redshirt freshmen do. One or two of them are going to have to step up. You'll have Alex Norwood, Hill Moses as the number one. They've got another JUCO wide receiver who's pretty tall coming in. You have to forgive me, his name is Slipman. But one of these young freshmen, there's the kid from Florence. His name's slipping me too. It's definitely a Tuesday for me. Cortez Hall is another guy that they've really talked about that they like. So they need one or two of those guys to step up. But if this class is as good as they've been talking for the last year and a half, whoever that quarterback is going to have plenty of options.
One more of a football question that I've got, unless Chuck or Nick have something for you, Ben. UNA has gotten Memphis on the schedule in 2022. How did that come to be? And, what is going into this game? UNA will be traveling up to Memphis. That's going to be their first FBS opponent as a program.
You know, it's super exciting. I mean, you add Memphis to the schedule. One, I mean, it'll be a good payday. It's going to benefit the department. But just getting on the national stage and what that does for the North Alabama brand, I mean, gosh, what was it, 2006, Jacksonville State goes and beats Ole Miss. It feels like every year or so, you know, there's a small FCS team upsetting a big team. And that's part of why you play those games. You go and you get a pretty decent check, and maybe you've got a chance to get noticed. Maybe you got a chance to make some waves out there. So, you know, the first 2 years of the transition, you're not allowed to play FBS opponents. I think that's right. And then years 3 and 4, I believe you're allowed to. And so hopefully more of those games start popping up. You know, teams are scheduling those games now. I don't know if there's anything else cooking up, but that's one of the exciting things about going Division I is now UNA gets on that national level. Now when you're watching the ticker on College Game Day, you're going to see Memphis versus University of North Alabama. Now, is Game Day going to talk about that game? I don't know. I haven't been able to watch Game Day because of work for several years, so y'all have to tell me that. But, you know, just seeing that and being associated with that is great for the show.
Well, you know, Ben, this is Chuck Hammer here on Shoal Sports Talk. Just want to ask you about the games in general that have been announced over the last few days, just to get your take on what you think the most exciting trip would be for you. We've seen Auburn and Alabama with baseball. We've seen Gonzaga with basketball, Memphis with football. Which one are you most pumped up about?
You know, I have always viewed UNA as the team of this area. And you go throughout this area, and you have your Alabama fans, and you have your Auburn fans. So then who's the one team that they all pull for? It's UNA. And we hear that people wear UNA, or Alabama and Auburn shirts all the time. Every school in the state competes with that. But for me, seeing the reaction from the Alabama and Auburn baseball games, I mean, that's pretty cool. I think that's something that this is a big baseball area. I think that's something that a lot of young kids in this area, they're going to want to watch that game. Hey, UNA's playing Auburn. Maybe we should go down. We're playing Alabama. Hey, that's a trip we could make it back and still go to school the next day and not be too tired. Gonzaga's awesome. I mean, you're playing a team that's going to be preseason top 10. I've heard some people say they could be ranked number one in the nation. They've made the Sweet 16, like what, three straight seasons, Final Four 2 years ago, so. I talked to Coach Poolhole today about that. We'll have an interview posted on Thursday with him. And just to be able to tell recruits, hey, yeah, we went and played Gonzaga. That's the type of programs that we're going to go play. It does a lot for your program. But I'm most excited about for people to get to see baseball, softball, hopefully basketball down the road. Get those Alabama and Auburns on the schedule because, I mean, that's just cool. I mean, everybody grows up an Alabama Auburn fan. Then you throw UNA into that mix. And when I was at Jacksonville State, I worked there for a few years. The baseball team there beat Alabama. And that's the type of sport baseball is. It's probably more level playing field. I mean, how cool would that be if UNA is able to beat Alabama or Auburn in the next year or so? And it's going to be tough. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. But just for UNA to be in that conversation once again, I mean, it really excites me.
And, Ben, I hate to close my questioning on a sour note here, but I got to ask you, the news came out. You were talking about baseball just a moment ago, but UNA losing their pitching coach, Matt Hancock, to Troy. That's some pretty big news and a big loss for the program, isn't it?
It is, Chuck. It's bittersweet. I mean, Coach Hancock's great. Everybody at UNA loves him. I'm so happy for Coach Hancock. You know, this is a great opportunity for him. It's a great situation for him. He's going to a great program. He has earned this. To be honest with you, I'm surprised that we held on to Coach Hancock as long as we have. I mean, he's a pitching guy. He's a baseball guy. Everybody at UNA is happy for Coach Hancock. We're excited. You know, it's bittersweet, you know, but it's a good sign when your program is having coaches move up to that level, when people are noticing what they're doing, especially at our level. And that'll probably happen frequently with assistant coaches, but that's what you want. You want them moving on and progressing. It's great for your program, and it's great for them. As sad as we are to lose Coach Hancock, at the same time, we're just as equally excited for him because, hey, Matt Hancock wasn't just a coworker. He's a close friend. He wasn't just the assistant coach. You know, he's a family member. So we're excited for him to get the opportunity. It's just like with Stephanie Radecki. I told Coach Radecki, I was like, hey, I'm mad you're leaving, but I'm so happy for you. I mean, this is going to be great for you. I mean, who knows what comes after that? But it's a tough loss, but at the same time, I'm very happy.
We've got Ben Ray. You can find him on Twitter at BAR76, BAR76, joining us on Shoal Sports Talk, the voice of the UNA Lions. All right, let's talk about a different topic. UNA has a 2018 Hall of Fame induction ceremony coming up in just a little while. I believe that's going to be October 14th. Among those going in are a guy like Jerry Hill, Jessica Liddy Wallace, and that might be Lydie. I apologize there. Emery McKay Bryan, a cross-country runner, and Carl Wilmer, a basketball player. Of course, we've got a tie here at Shoals Sports Talk to a guy like Jerry Hill, one of the principals now out at Brooks, was a longtime head football coach there. And, of course, Jerry is the son of Harlan Hill, who basically the Division II Heisman is named after, a guy like Harlan Hill. So talk about what you know about these people going into the 2018 Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and let's just start with Jerry Hill, Jordan. I mean, who from this area doesn't immediately recognize the Hill name and Harlan? I mean, as you just said, he has a Division II Heisman named after him. And for a lot of people, it's tough to live up to those sort of expectations. And Jerry had a great career at UNA. He was on the All-Decade team when he played. He was drafted into the NFL. Everybody talks about the catch against Jacksonville State. And, you know, that stood as a record up until, I think, 2009 or 2010 for the longest pass in school history. And so it's a great honor for the Hill family. I know the Brooks community has to be thrilled. I know what Coach Hill has meant to them over the years as a head coach and now, of course, as the principal. So I know they are very, very excited. Jessica Liddy Wallace. You know, she's a local educator as well. She's a PE teacher at, I think, Harlan, one of the elementary schools in the Florence system. And, man, I mean, she kind of helped make UNA softball into what it is today. I mean, I don't know how good the teams were when she played, but, you know, she was a four-year all-conference selection. I believe she's the school's all-time leader in career home runs. And you look at this next wave of softball players that are coming through, and a lot of them either broke or tied or came close to records that Jessica won. And the fact that all these years, UNA won a national championship, they've made the NCAA regional 5 of the last 6 years, I think, and her name is still attached to a lot of those records, still at the top of the record books, that speaks volumes to the type of player that she was. And so that's very exciting for softball. Emory, the cross-country runner. I mean, cross-country gets overshadowed, but you can make a case for her. I mean, she might be one of the best cross-country runners UNA has ever had. And it's great for that sport to get that sort of recognition. Then you jump over to Carl. I got to meet Carl during the basketball reunion this year. He hopped on the radio with me for a little while. And, man, he's a big guy, and I can't imagine what kind of player he is. Well, I know what kind of player he was. He's a Hall of Fame caliber player, but, you know, those teams in the 80s, in the 90s, you know, Carl was a part of that. UNA was a basketball dynasty back then, and so it's great to see Carl get that recognition. He was a heck of a player. All four of those, you know, going into the Hall of Fame, I love going to Hall of Fame ceremonies. It doesn't matter if it's UNA, if it's Jacksonville State, I helped out with their Hall of Fame. I just love seeing people honored for their athletic accomplishments and to see what it means to them, especially 10, 15, 20, 30 years later, just to see how proud they are. It's going to be a special day for them and their families.
He's Ben Ray, the official voice of the UNA Lions, taking time out of his day to join us on Shoals Sports Talk. Ben, my man, good to catch up with you. Good to hear from you. Before I let you go, the Braves have 4 All-Stars named to the National League All-Star team. I'll be 100% honest. I still don't know if I believe in this team. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Man, are we contenders? It's been the question the last, really, the first half of the season. Are we pretenders or are we contenders? I don't have faith in this team and the fact that right now our starting pitching can't make it out of the 4th, 5th inning and our bullpen is falling apart. We've got to have better production out of our starters. I mean, Folty's got to get better. He's an all-star, but his last start wasn't very good. Sean Newcomb, he's got to grow up a little more. Sanchez has been our most consistent pitcher, and I don't think anybody saw that coming. But we showed those flashes of potential. We get on base. I'm the forever optimistic Braves fan. I don't want to see us do anything crazy at the deadline, maybe if we can add a reliever or two. Let's not give up any of these young pieces. We're not supposed to be this good this year. This is a bonus year. Next year's our year. Whatever happens this year, hey, that's great. Next year, that's when we're supposed to really compete. So let's see how far this run will take us and then really go all in next year.
Ben, my man, good to hear from you. Enjoy the rest of your week, okay, buddy?
All righty, I appreciate you guys.
That was Ben Ray, the official voice of the UNA Lions, kind enough to join us on the program.